Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church this morning. I hope everyone's doing well. I'd like to welcome any first-time visitors that we have today. Glad you could be with us. Do we have any announcements this morning?
Karen, I want to remind everybody we're having training for Vacation Bible School volunteers next Sunday at 4 o'clock. And everyone who can be there, please do talk to Hannah. Stand up so everybody knows who you are. Hannah or myself if you can't make it or if you have any questions.
Any other announcements? Okay, Mary Beth.
Andrea and Larry have a new grandson who's been in ICU for 48 hours. He had a little bit of a breathing problem, but he's got
Wonderful. Any other announcements?
Okay. Everyone will turn to their hymnals. The Renew hymnal, page 9, As the Deer.
Moment and pause to prepare our hearts and our minds for worshiping the Lord as we light our candles this morning. Amen. Do we have any prayer concerns or praise requests this morning? Larry?
My son's going to have a second operation this week. So if it does, I cut his lid. It's only second. Got to fill my upper lid. So he's going to have with us a couple of weeks.
It's almost a blessing, but just that I find something.
Okay.
Somewhere.
Any other?
We're excited.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to travel to Pennsylvania to see my daughter Carrie, and I'm going to bring Zachary back, and I plan so he can be here for the Christian Bible school.
Yay!
We're excited to have Hannah back, and I know she's but we're just thankful she's going to be able to lead the vacation back Bible school too. But you know, she was up there in that 105-degree camping out with little Girl Scouts.
No air conditioning.
So we're glad she's back safely. We pray for Mike because he's up at CPYC in Bethel, and they've got they're hopefully leaving back. So keep all those kids safe. All of our
people. Any others?
My best friend left last week for 9 months before moving, so I just want to have everybody keep her in our prayers and hope for a safe return and nothing exciting happened.
If you'll put these requests on a pew card and put them in the offering plate, that way we can be sure to get them on our prayer in our bulletin. Any others?
Let us pray. Gracious God, Holy Father, we give you praise and glory. We have come to this place to worship you and to seek after you with all our hearts. And now, Father, we want to lift up those who are in need in our congregation, in our community. And Lord, our prayers are for each one that's on our long-term list, in our bulletin, being lifted up today, and we ask, Lord God, that you would surround each of them by your mighty power. Lord, that you would lift them up and move mightily to correct the situations in their life. And we pray, Father God, for this knee surgery, that you just watch over that and just guide the doctors and lead them in this, Lord. And we give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your great love for us, Father. And we come to you today with expectant hearts. We come to you today, Lord, with hearts full of faith. Lord, we trust you. We believe in you. And Father, we believe that you are the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Father, we praise you. It's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Now help us to pray the prayer that you have taught us as your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you.
you will please, to hymn 345. One of my personal favorites, by the way, Blessed Assurance.
Jesus.
confession. Hear the word of God, Romans 3, verses 23 and 24. For all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Our prayer of confession, if you'll just take a moment of silence. We ask forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a moment to express our thanks through our offertory sentence. May we respond to God's grace with praise and thanks as we give to the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Revelation 7, verse 12. Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen. If our ushers would please come forward.
Him, all creatures, here below. God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, you heavenly hosts. Praise God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Give it to
children's time, so if all the children want to come up with Miss Mary Jo.
Come on up, guys. Circle
for prayer.
Okay? Not a bag around here. We have a very, very to serve God. All right, let's bow our heads. Hey, guys. Stop. Whoa. Okay. We're going to be all right. Back this way. Next, we have to be very still. We have a lot of us. And guys don't like to do this.
Hear these words from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. There's a few things I want us to look at in these verses, and so let's go back through them. And we've been talking about faith for some time now, and we know that faith, our ultimate example of faith is our God, who calls things that aren't as though they are, who speaks things into existence that do not exist, and speaks them out of nothing. I mean, there's nothing there, and He speaks, and all of a sudden they come about. And He's created us in His image, and we've been talking about faith for a number of weeks now, especially from Hebrews chapter 11. And so now as we look at this scripture today, it's telling us that all of these folks who we read about in the Old Testament and the New, all of these folks have lived by faith. There's been this common thread, this faith issue, this believing God when all hope was gone, when there was nothing really to see. They just went. They just obeyed. They just believed. And so we're talking about this precious faith and how important it is to us, because we're called to walk that same way. New Testament says we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. So we look at all these who have died in faith without having received the promises. In other words, without having received the fulfillment of them. Without having seen, all those vast descendants. Yet Abraham did choose to believe God that he'd be the father of many nations. He knew there'd be no way he'd be able to stay alive long enough to see it all. But that doesn't mean he didn't receive it. He just didn't, they weren't always able to receive it in their lifetime, in its fulfillment. But let me tell you this, everything, and we talked about this last week, everything about their decision to live by faith did serve to change their lives. And it did serve to change their destiny and the way they would live. And the things that happened, the blessings that came upon them as a result of living faithfully before God, totally changed and transformed their lives. And so it's not as though they didn't receive anything. They didn't see the
end result of what God was doing, but they definitely saw a lot of lessons. They definitely were able to testify that God had been faithful their whole life long. It says that they welcomed these promises, or they welcomed these things from a distance. And having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, there's a difference. There's a distinct difference that they didn't see themselves as the same individuals before. Whereas before the call of God came on their life, they may have seen themselves as members of this earth, members of a particular city or members of a particular community. Now they saw themselves as exiles in the earth. That's a big, huge difference. To see yourself as a stranger walking in this earth. I think for us, we need that more of that. We need more of that feeling in our own walk with God. To understand that, man, this world's not my home. All you got to do is sit down and watch the evening news for a little while. And you realize, man, what's going on in people's lives? Why are they living in such darkness? You see, you see that there's no hope, that there's no vision, that they're just wandering in what they can see. What they can see, feel, taste, touch, and have. Experience right now. We don't live that way. If we thought about it, we sat down and we really thought about it and took an inventory, we'd all say, you know, I realize that this is not my home. Not really. All this will burn. All this will go to waste. It will go to somebody else. But I can't take any of it with me, and I don't want to. It don't belong where I'm going. We all know that we are strangers and exiles. Our faith has changed us in that regard. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. This is the deal. This is what we see in Abram's life. Abram was changed to Abraham. I mean, the guy saw things that and heard from God in such a way that it just transformed what he was expecting and what he was looking for as an end result. I mean, back in Ur, the Chaldeans, they worshiped the god of the moon. I mean, man, that's meager. I mean, what's the moon going to give you? I mean, we found out it's not made of cheese. There's nothing there. It's just dust. But, I mean, it's just nothing. And they're worshiping the god of the moon. There's no future there. There's no hope there. But now he's gone on a journey. He went on a journey, and this is the thing I want us to realize, is that for everybody that chose to have faith in God, their ultimate journey was a heavenly home, but they all went on an earthly journey too. That completely changed their life and the life of their kids. We see that in the lives of all those patriarchs that we've talked about so far, Abraham, Noah, Enoch, Moses, we're talking about him today a little bit. Some of the things that he experienced. Look at verse 14. For those who say such things make it clear that they're seeking a country of their own. Notice the word say. I've underlined that word in the scripture because it's so integral to faith. It's so much a part of faith. Those who believe will confess. That's how we become Christians. The scripture says we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. And that's exactly
There's one thing for sure. When we're believing God, it's going to change two things. It's going to change our actions, and it's going to change our mouth. The Scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when we're choosing to trust in God, to trust in His Word, it begins to transform our life. We start heading in a new direction. We start heading for another country. He said, notice the words, they are seeking a country of their own. A lot of them already have a country. What country were they seeking? The heavenly country, for sure. No doubt the heavenly country. No doubt the heavenly home. No doubt the understanding that, again, why it says that we're just strangers here in this earth. But there's also the call of God on our lives for while we're here. God's put us here for a reason. God's put us here to accomplish some things. And so this country that is becoming our own has to do with this heavenly hope that says, I don't want to go alone. Others need to know. I got to tell somebody. And out of that comes a mission, comes a vision. It's the call of God on our life. There's no way that God is going to call us to a heavenly home and not cause us to change the community around us while we're here. He called us to be His ambassadors. And we have a mission. There's no doubt that there is a mission for each and every one of us, a purpose, an individual calling. Think about Billy Graham for a moment. Billy Graham and all that he accomplished. When Billy Graham was a young man, just experiencing the call of God in the ministry, do you think he knew then what he accomplished today? Do you think he knew then that there was going to be a Billy Graham Evangelistic Association? That he was going to be one of the most influential evangelists ever walked on the planet? He had no idea. He probably didn't realize all of that. I'm sure he didn't see all of that. Not at the very beginning. But God's call was on his life. And God had a purpose for him. And God had a plan. And as he responded to God in faith, he began to build, if you will, you'll allow me to say that, he began to build a country of his own. It's called an evangelistic ministry that transformed America in a lot of ways. I mean, man, this thing's far-reaching, worldwide. And it's amazing. I don't even know. I wish I had gone and looked to see how many people are employed by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm sure that it's numerous. A huge organization that's able to mobilize churches and leaders and volunteers and bring about these revival services where thousands upon thousands of people are introduced to Jesus for the first time in their lives. It doesn't just happen. There's a whole organization there. People who work together in prayer. Building something. Building a future. Having purpose and meaning in their lives because they're involved in a ministry that's making a difference. Did he know the full ramifications of all that we understand to do today when he was first called in the ministry? No way. Not an idea, not an inkling. Let's just leave that there for a moment. Verse 15 says, and indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had an opportunity to return. thinking. I underline the word thinking. Well, then, that thinking is what gets us into trouble so much of the time. I'm reminded of a minister friend who calls it stinking thinking. And it's always stuck with me because it's so true and it makes so much sense. And it's the thing that gets us into trouble because we tend to carry baggage. We tend to hold on to the past. And all of our fears and our failures and maybe our past life, or maybe the things that, you know, we feel like have not gone right in our life. And we carry that, and it becomes a weight, and it becomes baggage. And the scripture says if they wanted to continue to think on those things, they could have. And they would have an opportunity to return. Do you remember the time the children of Israel said, let's just go back to Egypt? They just couldn't quit thinking about the past. They were in bondage. They were getting whipped. They were in slavery. And now that they were experiencing freedom for the first time, they were ready to go back. Oh my goodness. Who would want to go back to slavery? But it happens. It happens in our lives too. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just comfortableness with the past. Maybe it's just what we have geared, how we gear ourselves to think. But at some point, faith calls us to change our thinking. It calls us to begin to say the things that God says, to begin to believe the things that God has told us in His Word, and to let that become our confession, and let that begin to control our thinking. Because we don't need to go back to a land of bondage. We need to let those things go. For many of us, those things are things that we confess, we pray about, we've asked forgiveness. And we just need to know that our God has thrown those things as far as the east is from the west. That they're no more. If He's not remembering them, why should we keep dragging ourselves down? Verse 16 says, but as it is, they desire a better country. And there's what we need. A desire. A God-given desire. And that's what faith does to us. It puts a desire in us. Sometimes we say, Lord, I just need more passion. I just need to grow in my hunger for You. Then dive deep into His Word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when your faith begins to rise up, then it will deepen your desire for God and for the things of God. And all of a sudden, your life, your destiny, and the place that you're walking begins to change. It puts us on that higher road. It puts us on that path where wisdom leads us. Our wisdom lights the way. God's wisdom. As it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Now here's the thing. We know that He's talking about a heavenly home. But here's the deal. I've got a good friend in the ministry who loves Jesus. You know, just got an awesome love for the Lord. Always talking about wanting to go home to be with Jesus. Looking forward to the day when Jesus comes back. Just looking for the day when he's going to see Jesus. Now, I know he's looking for that home and he's talking about what he's going to experience in that heavenly home. But guess what that's done? That vision that he has for that heavenly home has caused him to be so much more hungry to share that love with others. And he's building a home here on the earth too. A heavenly home here on the earth. A home that will go with him. See, everybody that you love, everybody that you tell about Jesus, everybody that comes to know the Lord because of you is going to go to heaven with you. You're going to bring your sheaves with you. The scripture talks about it. Hallelujah. We're building something here. And I know we're talking about a heavenly home, but we're also talking about what God's called us to do while we're here. He's prepared a home for us, but listen, He's prepared everything that He wants you to do. Everything that... this is the deal. I want to talk about Billy Graham again. When Billy Graham was first called to the ministry, just that young man, God already had prepared Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. It was already a finished ministry in God's heart. He was already the worldwide evangelist. He didn't know it, but he was. He didn't know it was finished work, but it was. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, the scripture says that where his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so I already know he's already prepared. He's prepared you a heavenly home, and praise God for that, and look forward to that, but he's also prepared you a heavenly home here. A heavenly ministry, if you will. He's prepared your spiritual walk, the things that you are going to accomplish in life and in ministry. God's already got it for you. It's already finished where He's concerned. We're the ones that go, "Oh Lord, what do you want me to do? Where should I go? What's my next step? What's my next move? Where should I turn?" And God already knows. All He really wants you to do is to believe. Trust Him. To express your faith in Him. And to continue to believe His Word. And as you walk in faith, it'll all unfold. Just as it did for Billy Graham. They said, "I can't do anything like Billy Graham did." You're not supposed to do what Billy Graham did. Only Billy Graham was supposed to do what Billy Graham did, because that's what God prepared for Billy Graham. You're only supposed to do what God prepared for you. I'm only supposed to do what God prepared for me. I can't do what He's prepared for you. And you can't do what He's prepared for me. But I can't do what God's prepared for me unless I go after God in faith. And neither can you. And neither can Billy Graham. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. God wanted to take them into the promised land, told them to go into the promised land, and to take it. But the Bible says that they would not go, that they would not let their hearing be mixed with faith, that they would not believe. The children of Israel went into the promised land was just a generation later. There's no need for us to miss the fulfillment of God's plan in our life when He already has it prepared for us. It's time for us to walk in it. Look at Moses. The scripture says in Hebrews 11:24, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure the ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ, great riches, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to a reward." My goodness, think about Moses. When he was standing there in the Egyptian courts, and he was contemplating, "Should I stay? Or should I go be with my own people?" Do you think at that moment that he saw that he would one day be the deliverer of Egypt? No, he didn't. As a matter of fact, when God actually called him to be the deliverer, He didn't want to be a deliverer. He said, I can't do it. Send somebody else. Not me. Listen. God has prepared what He wants you to do. He just needs us to respond to Him in faith. Moses responded to God in faith, the Scripture says. But his faith at that time was just to say no to the pleasure of sin. Just to say no to a life in Pharaoh's house. He knew something was directing him toward his own people. I've got to go back and identify with my own people. He didn't have a full understanding of it yet, but there was this moving. There was this yearning, this pulling, this sense of conscience, if you will. But it was more than that. It was the Holy Spirit moving him. He didn't understand fully. There were probably many times when he might have thought, boy, why did I give up all that for the latch? But he did. Because there's something moving in him. There's another destiny, another country, a heavenly home, and the experience of everything that would happen before he reached that heavenly home. And he would be the one that would take the children of Israel right to the edge of the promised land.
First John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know we love the children of God. For when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Man, that is the victory. The victory that overcomes all the temptations of the world. The victory that overcomes all of the burdens of the world. The victory that overcomes everything that the world has done bad to us is our faith. Our faith is the victory. Our faith is what's going to take us to this new place. Our faith is what takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and into this new country. This new place where we belong to God and where we are accomplishing the feats of God. And not even knowing it at times. Not even understanding why we're making the decisions that we're making now. But they're leading us further into the work God has for us. You're not here by accident this morning. This is just part of the purpose and the plan of God for you. And what He's trying to say to you. How He's trying to take you further along. And bring us all to that place of trusting Him. We're going to sing a song in just a minute, Just As I Am. And we need to know that God does accept us right where we are, exactly just as we are. But from that point forward, He changes us. He takes us just the way we are, and He makes us into who He's calling us to be. He takes us just the way we are, and He gives us a destiny. He gives us a future and a hope. He takes us just the way we are, and He puts a call on our life. And He already has it prepared. It's already finished as far as He's concerned. Ours is just to continue to walk with Him. To stay as close as we can to Jesus. To keep on allowing our faith to be developed, to strengthen, to always be responding to God. Yes, Lord, I believe. I don't know where you might be this morning. If you're here this morning, you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior.
past. May we've been holding on to that place of bondage. It's time to let it go. It's time to realize that God still takes us just the way we are right now. And He wants to start remaking us anew right now. But we've got to give ourselves to Him again. Say, I believe. I put my trust in you. Let's stand. Father, we come to you today, and we come in faith. And Lord, as we go from this place, send us in the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might draw near to you, that we might build up our most precious faith. And Lord, hear your word, allow you to change our destiny and to fulfill it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.